I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just want to say publicly, I'm so grateful for Matt and our team, amen, for what they do and how they lead us in worship, amen. But I've got a question for you. I want you to notice this. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. Sit down, sit down. It won't take long, I promise, because I'm already behind schedule. It's all been good stuff, but as I'm singing the songs, I see scripture all throughout, right? Like, I'm wonderfully made. That's Psalm 139. All things work together. That's Romans 8. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalm 118. I'm trying, K-Mac and I are trying to figure out, where is la, 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 la in the Bible? I'm just, is that Greek? Is that Hebrew? Or
say la, la. They're telling us to say
la,
la.
Oh, say la, la. That's in Psalm. Is that, all right. I was trying to.
La, la, la.
That's my favorite. La, 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 la.
I thought it meant say la, la, la.
Okay, all right, all right. I'm just like, that's biblically sound music. I was just trying to find it. I couldn't find it in the Bible. I thought it was Greek or Hebrew. We figured it must be Aramaic, because neither one of us have studied that. I love you, Matt. Appreciate you. I want you to know that, though, right? When we're singing these songs, don't just like look at the words and not think about them. They're scripture. This is a day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And then all things work together. That's Romans 8. It's all throughout the scripture. I really don't know where la, 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 la is in there, but it's fine. It kind of fills in between the verses or whatever. And so I want to commend you, as I notice more and more when our team is singing, you're singing with them. Church music should be the congregation singing together. That's the primary way you see music in the Bible. It's almost always congregational focused and congregational singing. There's some celebratory choirs. There's some solos that people sing occasionally. Miriam and Mary and those kind of things we see in Scripture. The primary thing you see in the church and the Scripture is we're to sing together. I promise you, your deaf-tone, non-singing voice is greater and more glory to God than your silence when we sing together as a church. And I just tell you to sing. Now, if you really can't sing, don't try to sing louder than everybody else, right? Just blend in together, unify together. But I'm so glad that you're here. I'm already encouraged. I feel like I could almost say you've heard sermons, you've seen sermons, you've sung sermons. I'm so grateful for Trey and Kendall and all of our military families as they join up with us. And it's funny when you meet them, you think, we don't know who's going to connect and who's just going to kind of drift by and we don't see them. But so many of our military families connect in such a real way. And here's kind of my motto, that when they leave and they go to the next assignment, if it doesn't hurt a little bit, we didn't do it right. I said, I'm telling you, church, some of y'all are still a little hesitant to dig in and get close to these military families and love them. Not many of you, most of you love them well and love them deeply and wrap them up as soon as they'll let you. But listen, if it doesn't hurt some when they leave, we're not doing it right. And military families, I know you're only going to be here 2 or 3 years most likely. Ask some of them that have been here 30 years since they retired. But anyway, that's, sometimes God has different. Fort Polk has not got the greatest reputation in military circles, but for some reason a lot of folks fall in love with it. Not necessarily Fort Polk, but the area, and the people. And this church has a testimony, long before it ever knew who Tommy Kiker was, of loving on military families. And I pray we'll never, ever lose it. I pray we'll just continue to build on that. We've had with the Jacksons, and we've got another family that's going to be leaving us soon. Most of them happen in the summer, but a few happen in the fall. We'll have 19 families that we're sending out in the name of Jesus. We've loved on them well. We're going to miss them. But we've got a ton of new faces, too. So if you're one of the new faces, let us love on you. And see where God would have you serve while you're here as well. And if you have questions, let us know. And then little Gideon, I'm telling you, that little dude has encouraged this pastor, because the first Sunday he wanted to talk to me, he saw me and he just stood there. I couldn't get him to say anything. And then the next time he came up, he couldn't talk again. But then the next service he came back and he was like determined. He's like, Brother Tommy, I got saved. I got saved. I want to be baptized. I got saved. And it's almost like that was it. And then in my office, he shared the gospel just as clear as anybody in this room can share the gospel and responded to. I just want to make sure. But what I love is, as you heard David say, that partnership between family and the church, and we're sharing Jesus. See, he accepted Christ back here in this building. You don't have to get saved in this building, but you can, right? I got saved on the orange shag carpet in front of the closet on our living room floor in seminary. My mom led me to Christ at home, but I was in church back and forth and hearing the gospel. My family was sharing the gospel. We partnered together. Man, I got to slow down and breathe. All right, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 21. As you find a new place, do you see the blessings? I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know what it was. It might have been the 45-minute nap I took before supper. But anyway, I just started counting my blessings. Jesus, my wife, my family. And pretty soon I just fell asleep. But as I come in this morning, I don't get to speak to all of you on Sunday, but everyone I spoke to, I count you as a blessing. Then I'm sitting there singing. I see little Brindley back there, and I'm thinking, count my blessings. We got a brand new baby in the building. And so her first Sunday. And so, you know, just the blessings God gives us. Don't miss your blessings. Life is hard. Life is busy. Life is tough. But man, God is good to us. And I pray that you'll just count those blessings. And then we come now in the text. We've been following Abraham and Sarah for 25 years. I know for some of you it probably feels like we've been in Genesis that long, but we haven't. But just 25 years of his life, and now finally, all the promises, all the chapters, all the encounters between God and Abraham, and now we get to the text where Isaac's born, and it's just seven verses. It's not even the whole of the chapter. It's just the intro of the chapter, and I want us to see just three reminders about God in this text, and then about what the world sees in us when we walk with God. And first, I want you to see God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Listen to what God's word says. We're going to work our way through this whole chapter very quickly, but I pray very impactfully that the Lord will speak to us. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. I want you to see three things about God right there in those two verses. He said, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. God did what he said he was going to do. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. God kept his promise. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time which God had spoken. He does it in his timing. He does what he says he's going to do. He keeps his promises, but it's in his timing. For Sarah and Abraham, it was a 25 long year journey. It was 50 years, it was 75 years before that of whatever God did in those years to prepare Abraham and Sarah for what was going to happen. But from the time we're introduced to the thought of the promise, to the fulfilling of the promise of Isaac, it was 25 years. And the fruition of the promises are still taking place today. God is always working. He'll do what he said he's going to do. He'll keep his promises, but it will be in his time. And he's God, we're not. He gets to decide the time. And then we see Abraham and Sarah respond faithfully. Look through 3 through 7. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him when Sarah bore him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. They named the child Isaac. Why? Because God told him to. His name means he laughs. He brings joy is the idea. That laughter was one of maybe disbelief or surprise, and now it's one of praise and joy. They circumcised the child on the 8th day, to mark the covenant between God and Abraham, because God had told them that's what they were to do. And then they praise God for fulfilling his promise. Sarah says her laughter's been turned to joy. Her disbelief or her surprise or her astonishment of what God said he would do is now great joy, because she's seen God keep his promise. And then everybody that sees her or knows of her would rejoice over what God had done. They praise God for fulfilling his promises. 100 years old, 90 years old, and they just thought they were almost empty nesters. Amen. God keeps his promises. Let me remind you of a couple of God's promises. There's all throughout Scripture. I encourage you, as you read Scripture, just dwell on the promises. Know that God keeps them. Romans 8:28 is one that I had in my text today, not knowing that they were going to sing that song. Matt sees my notes. I don't know if he picked it after he saw my notes or not, but we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God keeps his promises. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I couldn't help but put that in the King James, because that's how I learned it a long, long time ago. Have you forgotten that promise? You see, sometimes I think we hear them so often, we forget how wonderful they are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God keeps his promises. Second, I want you to see in the text that God cares for all people. Look at verses 8 through 12 with me in the text. And the child grew, talking about Isaac, and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on that day. Normally in the Jewish culture, a child was weaned between 2 and 3 years old. And a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. They're celebrating Isaac. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, remember Ishmael, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. And this is really the same word that's kind of a derivative of Isaac's name, but this is kind of a mocking laughter, a scornful laughter. He's picking on his little brother, his half-brother. And so she said to Abraham, cast out the slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. He loved his son Ishmael. He had fought for Ishmael. He had argued with God that Ishmael should be the son of promise. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says, you do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. God assures Abraham that things are fine. Do as his wife has asked. And we understand that the Ishmael plan was wrong from the beginning. It was misguided. It was Abraham and Sarah trying to help God and doing so in a dishonoring way. We can't expect God's blessing on anything outside of his design. We just can't. We want to tell God, here's our plans, bless them. And God says, listen, I don't work that way. I have plans for you, God says. And we need to walk in his plans. And sometimes we'll just decide that we're going to do our own thing. And sometimes our own thing is not only outside of God's plans and God's will, but it's contrary to God's word. And we can never expect God's blessing on that which is outside of his design. Isaac is the son of promise. Yet God shows mercy and kindness to Ishmael and to Hagar. Look at verse 13 in the text. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, put it in on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, the way the text reads, it makes you think that, you know, Ishmael's this little child. The water skin's on her shoulder. The child's walking beside her. He's 14, 15, 16 years old by now. He's a teenager. And so when the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. Should have researched how far that was, but she could probably still see, but not hear. She didn't want to hear him and look on him when he died. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. It's interesting to me. She lifted up her voice and wept, but God heard the boy. Look, and God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And we'll see more that Ishmael has 12 sons of his own, and he is really the father of the Arab nation. And God does make a great nation out of him. Now, there's consequences that come from Sarah and Abraham's misguided plan, but God still shows mercy and compassion on Hagar and on Ishmael. God cares for all people. Finally, I want you to see this. In God's plan for Abraham, Abraham did not walk in perfection. He walked in consistency. Abraham made mistakes, and some are documented in Scripture. Aren't you glad your mistakes aren't documented forever in Scripture? God knows where we have fallen short, but his grace is sufficient to cover them. The Bible says if we repent, he casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Abraham did not walk in perfection, but he walked in consistency. And the world around Abraham recognized God's hand. Look at the text there in verse 22. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. This pagan king, this pagan commander, they could see God's blessing on Abraham. They could tell that God was with him in all that he did. They desired a healthy relationship with him. He said, now therefore swear to me hereby God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. What's interesting is that in their first encounter, Abraham had deceived Abimelech. And now Abimelech is asking Abraham to deal rightly with him, to deal righteously with him, and Abraham agrees. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I've not heard of it until the day. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant, and Abraham and set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these seven ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that it will be my witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, this place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. The world recognizes God's hand. God was with Abraham in all that he did. Does the world see that in you? Do they recognize God in you and in I? Do they recognize God's blessing? Not in worldly riches necessarily, not in physical things, but in our demeanor, in our spirit, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, our deeds, how we treat others. Do they recognize God? Abraham desired a healthy relationship with those around him. He wanted to be a good neighbor, to have good relationships with them. He handled conflict with grace and peace. There was a conflict between Abraham's men and Abimelech's men over a well that was dug. And Abraham didn't post about it on social media or make a big stink about it. Didn't have it right, amen. But praise the Lord, he went to Abimelech and said, hey, here's the problem. And they dealt with it rightly. They dealt with it face to face. And Abraham gave peace offerings, even though it seemed he was the one that was wronged. Abraham's the one making the peace offering. I think sometimes we get so caught up in, well, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. Never. We deserve separation from God. We deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. But may we be givers of grace as grace has been given to us. Man, if we would just live by that idea of give grace like grace has been given to us, I promise you it will shake up this entire region. Some of us are trying to live like that. Many more need to be living like that. If we would just live with that mindset, but it's usually all about me. I wasn't treated right, so I'm going to get back. Where Abraham wasn't treated right, he gave peace offering. When he was the one wrong, he's the one that gave grace as he walked with God. Abraham lived at peace in the land. He sojourned for many years, but he lived at peace. He was a man of peace as a representative of God. Let me give a couple takeaways and I'm done. We can trust God to keep his promises. We just can. We can trust God to keep his promises. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust him with everything. Second, we ought to live at peace and with good reputation. When I'm having a conversation in town, if your name comes up as a member or a regular attender of East Leesville Baptist Church, what's the response going to be to the one that I'm talking to? I have not had it happen here yet. I hope it never happens. But I have had conversations in northeastern North Carolina about members of the church that I was pastor of, and I said, oh, wow, they go to your church? And like a shock. I'll just say, if I had to defend my church member, well, we're a bunch of sinners, you know. Nobody in here is perfect. Anybody here got it all figured out? Man, if you raise your hand, you're the most prideful, arrogant, sinful person I've known yet, right? We're all a bunch of, now listen, we're not just sinners saved by grace, we're sinners saved by grace, but we're to be saints of God. But what's your reputation? Most of you have a really good reputation in the community. Some of you are getting nervous. Maybe you need to work on that. I don't know, but just I haven't heard anything very detrimental yet. But we ought to have a good reputation. I pray my reputation would be, oh man, that guy's not right, but he loves Jesus. He loves his wife, loves his family, loves Jesus, loves people. Loves God, loves people, seeks the lost, makes disciples. That's kind of what we want to be. What's your reputation? Is your life marked by peace? Some folks just have chaos around them all the time. Chaos, 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 chaos. And right in the middle, there's a common denominator, chaos. Sometimes you may be the source of the chaos. Maybe it's not life just happening to you. Maybe you're part of what's happening. And just, I'm not saying always. Sometimes we get other people's mess on us. We just do. Family members or friends or co-workers or neighbors. But we just need to make sure what role we're playing. Is your reputation one that is marked by peace? Is your reputation one that brings honor to the Lord? Do we live in such a way where it causes others to desire a relationship with Jesus? Not perfection. We are not able, but consistency. And consistency includes when you blow it, you own it, and you ask forgiveness. There's someone right now that I hope to catch before they leave today and just ask forgiveness. And it wasn't anything terrible, but I felt conviction over it. And I feel like if I feel conviction over it, I need to deal with it. How's your reputation? And then finally, I just put this petition, this request. May God grant us strength to walk by faith like Abraham and Sarah. To walk by faith, not perfectly, but consistently. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. See, really, this story is not about Abraham. This story is not about Sarah. This story is about the one who was faithful and the one who is faithful to this day. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. By faith. I want to share with you just in closing just something the Lord taught me this week that I think was just a reminder to me. I really believe with all my heart God wants to bless you and bless your family in real, tangible ways. But I'm not talking like the TV preachers talk where your bank account or your status or your position in the world. I'm talking about what I think is the greatest blessing is that you would walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That we would walk by faith. And what it takes is consistency. But so often, we want to walk our own path. We're all ahead of God. We're not necessarily walking in flagrant sin. And we're not necessarily just, you know, turning our nose up to God and saying, I'm not going to do whatever you want. But we've got our own plans. We've got our own agenda. And we're like, God, if you want to bless it, that's fine. But I'm rolling. And God just doesn't work that way. We need to be walking close to Him. And then there's times we just turn our back completely on God. And we choose sin. And we choose the things of the world. And we choose that which is contrary to God's design and God's plan. When I just really believe God just wants us to walk with Him. Beside Him. Not in front of Him. Not out ahead of Him. Not with our back turned to Him behind Him. But beside Him. Day by day. Step by step. Walk with God. And I believe with all my heart He wants to bless us. And He wants to use us for His glory. So here's the question. How's your walk? Are you ahead of Him doing your own thing? Just, you know, life's life. It's busy, preacher. We're rolling. We'll see you every once in a while, but we just got all this other stuff, and it might be good things. But, man, if you make a good thing a god, it becomes a terrible thing. Right. And you're not really walking with God. It's kind of something you think about occasionally. Listen, God never intended to be a part of your life. Listen, catch it. Don't miss it. Preacher said God don't even want to be a part of our life. No, He don't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. Not a part, but the whole. It's a difference. It changes everything. How's your walk? Some of you haven't started the journey yet, and God's saying, listen, walk with me. Walk with me. It's not religion. It's not church. Church is a part of that. The community is important, and as you grow, you understand God made us to do this in community together with encouragement and support and accountability and love and all the things that church can offer, but it's walking with God. It's a relationship. It's got to be real. Are you walking consistently? Can I just tell you, your preacher's walking. I mess up. I flub it sometimes. I make mistakes, but I'm walking. Sometimes I get ahead of him, but I'm walking. Sometimes I sin, but I'm walking. And he's guiding me. You say, how is it, preacher? It's not an audible voice, but it's real. I can sense it. As I'm in his word, I know that he's got a plan. I know that he wants to use me for his glory and for my good as I walk with him. Not because of anything I am, but because he'll use anybody that will walk with him. How's your walk? Are you spending time in his word? Are you being still and knowing that he is God? Are you spending your time and your energy and your resources and your calendar and your checkbook and your conversation for his glory? Or are we doing our own thing? God will let us do our own thing. He will. I really feel like a lot of times he'll just let us do our own thing. And we'll get our own result. But he really desires for us to walk with him. If you've never received Christ, I'm begging you, come and start walking with him. Our musicians are going to come. Abraham and Sarah, they walked with God these 25 years. Some of their mistakes are recorded for eternity in the Word of God, yet they walked not perfectly, but consistently. There's some release in that, right? That God's not calling us to perfection. He's calling us to completion. Our understanding of perfection is that we never make a mistake. The biblical understanding of completion is that we're walking consistently with God and we're becoming more like Jesus every day. Are you walking with God? If you were to sit here right now, and I'm asking you to do this as we get ready to respond to God's word, remembering God keeps his promises, remembering that God loves all of us, remembering that the world notices when it sees the real thing. How is your walk with God? How is your personal time with the Lord in his word and in prayer? Is it where you want it to be? Are you out ahead of him doing your own thing? Or you turned your back on him just doing the things of the world that even some of those are just downright sinful? What needs to happen for you to walk with God? I love the reality that you may have taken 1,000 steps away from him, but all it takes is to turn and one step back, and you'll find him right there. You may have journeyed away from him for days and weeks and months and years. Maybe some of you in here, you haven't really walked with God for decades, but I'm telling you, if you'll turn back to him, he's waiting right there. There's not a long journey. He will meet you as soon as you turn to walk with him. Some of you have never made that step to trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to surrender to the gospel. Some of you this morning, you need to be saved. What I'd ask you to do is say, as pastor, I just want to give my life to Christ. And you may not have a clue what all that entails. All you know is you need Jesus. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll make note of your decision, and we'll come alongside of you, and we'll walk with you, and we'll walk together with God. Not perfectly, but consistently. Others of you, there's just burdens. And you need help carrying the burdens. I think that's why God's given us one another. But oh, one of the great promises of Scriptures, Jesus says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you just need to come and be reminded that Jesus can give us rest. Some of you have been thinking for a while, there's got to be more to being a Christian and just showing up at church and just going through the motions. There is. I'm telling you, it's a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Have you found it? Those of you that know what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't gotten that, I'm telling you, that's what God wants for you. God wants to have a real, genuine, daily walk with you. Let us help you in that. We haven't got it all figured out. I'm 40 years into the journey. And it feels like when I look, I've made some progress. But man, the more progress I make, the more I see that I've still got to go. But God's going to finish the work. How's your walk? And God's doing so many wonderful things. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I just want you to be a part of it as well. Not just here at East, but all around us, all around the world. We've been called to take this glorious good news that Jesus saves to all the world. As God speaks to your heart, I pray you'll come and find one of us during this invitation or even after the service and just say, hey, I want to just take the next step on that journey. I want to dig deeper. I know there's more. I want to walk with God in a real way. We want to help you do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we respond to your word, as we give you praise for all that you've done, for all of who you are, may you do whatever you need to do in our hearts, our minds, our daily activities, our thoughts, our deeds, our calendar, our conversation, our checkbook, whatever you need to move in. Lord, I pray you would move in it for your glory and for our good. Lord, would you enable us by the power of your Spirit to walk more closely and consistently and faithfully with you. And Lord, we can't wait to see what you have for us as we do so. Lord, we know you keep your promises. We know it's in your time and in your way, but you keep your promises. Lord, we know you care for all people. Lord, give us hearts that care for all people. That shows grace even when we're done wrong, that we would give grace like we've been given grace. And Lord, may the world see Jesus in us. May they know that our blessing, our favor, is not of us, it is of you. And when they see us respond, when they see us live, may they desire the Jesus that we serve. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing together.